want to note, Amy, that I remember when there was a raid on in Mar-a-Lago, President Trump's home, how some people were questioning the timing of the FBI raid, saying that it's suspicious that they would raid 2 years before a presidential election. And now, my statement to them is that if people are concerned about the timing 2 years off, right here in Florida, these arrests started on the eve of elections, right? Whether it was the primary election that we had in August, right? And now, of course, the general election that we have here in November. And so these arrests are frighteningly close to election, and it can't be any other conclusion to make other than that this is an intimidating tactic to scare people away from participating in our democracy. And so folks need to be outraged at this. Folks need to fight back. And one of the ways they can do this, Amy, is that we've set up bail funds for these individuals, and we've set up a legal defense fund. The gentleman that you talked about whose case was dropped, we were able to provide an attorney for this young man so he's able to successfully challenge these charges in court.
We have 5 seconds,
we're providing
Desmond.
Attorneys for any individual who are arrested on these charges, and we're making sure that people are also able to bail out if they cannot afford to post bail.
Desmond Mead, we want to thank you for being with us, President of the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition, Chair of the Floridians for a Fair Democracy. Tune in November 8th for our 3-hour election night special beginning at 9 Eastern. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, listener-supported community radio.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. With me is the lovely, the slightly winded, the maybe we need to go jogging a little bit more. Althea Billings. I include myself in that. I was winded just watching you.
Yeah. Hey, good morning. Hey, giving it all away that I'm feeling a little hectic.
this is all good. This is part of it. It's dark outside.
Oh, I know. And rainy?
Yeah.
What the heck?
I guess it's here.
I guess.
We did it. We made it to another summer. Summertime, honestly, it's difficult for me.
Is it?
Yes. Everyone is, it's going to sound weird. Everyone is out enjoying themselves. And as much as I don't know. I like to be with people, but not with people. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I love going to the river with myself and the dog and maybe like one other person, two other people mm-hmm. most. But I feel like it's like everyone wants to do stuff all the time. And it's always such big group, like large groups.
Yeah.
And I just, I'm not a big fan of it. So now it's like back to the intimate coziness.
Yeah, that's true. We get the opportunity to do new stuff.
Yes.
I have classically been kind of a fall hater.
Oh.
Being a Pacific Northwest girly, you know, we don't have like good fall, you know, when popular culture is like, oh my God, I love fall. It's like,
oh.
it's wet. It's the start of the dark time. Why would I be excited about that?
That is a good point.
Like, I mean, obviously climate change has pretty significantly impacted what our seasons are like, but you know, summer was this very precious thing that oftentimes ended on September 1st and you got a couple of 80 degree, 90 degree days in there. But boy, if it didn't really test my resolve with these like 80 degree days into October, horrible air quality. And
oh,
sure,
and
it's
smoke.
Sure it's hot, but it's not. You can't go swimming, so what's the point? You know. So
right.
Maybe I am a fall girly. Maybe I'm excited about fall activities.
It's an acquired taste.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it should be a given that fall is everybody's favorite season.
Have you heard of pumpkin spice?
Yeah, I have. Maybe we need to get into that, some of that later. Maybe.
Oh, boy. Oh boy. Anyways, yeah, so you are listening to The Gap on KBO Portland. This is a two-part show in which in the first part we usually have an interview or a roundup discussion on news and views, and then part two where we open up the phone lines to you, the listener, with our community question.
Community question, yes.
And oof, we have a lot of stuff to talk. We always have a lot of stuff, but I'll say it anyway. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. A lot of things have been happening, or I guess a lot of things have been unraveling. I shouldn't say that. It's have been opening up and maybe showing themselves a little bit more, especially around the elections, mm-hmm. and developing. That's the word, not unraveling. Showing who they really are.
You were working your way there. That's
it's workshopping.
It's workshopping.
And I think that for a majority of the time, we would like to talk a bit about some of the measures that we didn't get to last week, yeah. since the elections are coming up in, what is it, the 2-week countdown?
Yeah, it's yeah, like a week and a half.
Yeah.
Woo. Also, for folks in Multnomah County, at least, you should have gotten your ballot by yesterday. If you didn't, you're supposed to contact the elections office to make sure that it's sent or it's not sent or what's going on. Definitely important to make sure you have your ballot because it is so, so soon and you could be voting at any time and mailing it in.
Yep.
So do we want to get into the measures first or do you want to do quick updates? Because last week we talked about Willamette Week's endorsements. And how much sense they made or didn't make.
Not much. And as well as, luckily, we had some callers ask about some other endorsements, other outlets endorsing. Mm-hmm. And it mellowed us out a little bit.
Right.
And there's been some updates with specifically around Rene Gonzalez and the fine that his campaign efforts have received. So most recently in an OPB article, a judge revoked the $77,000 fine that was given to the campaign because they were saying that the office space that was given to Gonzalez's campaign was given at such a discounted rate that it considered as an in-kind donation.
Yeah.
It was from around a little bit under $7,000, and it went down to $250.
A month.
A month, yes. A monthly rental. So 96% drop. And the judge said that the efforts to the Portland Election Commission didn't prove strongly enough that the rental space was actually worth quote unquote market price at a little bit under $7,000. So so I guess I think this judge just hasn't rented anything in a very long time.
Sure.
Because if you really think that I'll go back.
$250, that's like less than a parking space, no? Sorry, if it's $250 downtown, we should just open up an office. We don't even have to do anything there. We just like
I want this lawyer to talk to the landlord where I live, and I wrote this in our notes. Will Gonzalez accidentally inspire renters across Portland?
Maybe.
I mean, as much as this like annoys me, I'm like, I'm kind of inspired. I'm like, I didn't know I could just make things up like this.
Look, the rent is too damn high.
The rent is very high, but if you're telling me that I can contest that and say,
just like, hey, it's actually should be. It looks at watch, $250. Okay. The other thing, can I point out one thing that I think is missed in all of this? Because, I mean, it's easy to get bogged down in the weeds of, you know, the dollar amounts. The fine was also because he didn't report it.
Mm.
And that in-kind donations are not allowed in the small donor elections program. So those are also, like, pretty significant things that are a part of this that I think, you know, it's easy to start debating of like, yeah, everything's so bad in downtown Portland, they're giving away property, you know, like he was actually like doing Jordan Schnitzer a favor by having office space or whatever.
I didn't see any first month free signs anywhere. I didn't see any of that.
No. If it was $250 a month, we would be in a different situation.
I would be able to drink my cafe lattes and avocado toast, and yeah. no one can say anything. Yeah. Living like a queen up in there.
Millennials would not be killing the diamond industry if that's what rent was. Can I say that?
We need
to be so bold.
We need to go back to this judge and ask. They're like, "What's up? Are you trying to take on the housing crisis?"
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Because he might be the one.
We just need some judge to be like, "Hey, no, I don't like that part. That's too much rent. You can't increase it by that much."
This is where I call this the Portland 360,
uh-huh.
where you're so staunchly one side.
Yeah.
Or I guess, all right, fine. It can also be called the horseshoe theory, political science, where it's like you're so staunchly on one side that you actually
sort of looped around.
You should loop around on the other side. So.
And then the judge starts talking like, "And what is it to own property?" You know, like that. If we could sort of break that concept down, it doesn't even really make sense. We're on stolen land, you know. We're arguing about office space. Come on,
that would be great. I
haven't read the legal arguments. Maybe they say that.
that's where that is at now, and I think that this was kind of big news because this fine was the biggest fine that was ever given to a candidate running.
Yeah.
And it was very significant. And, you know, when we think about the fact that they are part of the small donors election program,
mm-hmm.
I think this is a big saving face moment. I think that if the commission wants to reappeal in any way or something, I think
that
they
haven't seen anything about an appeals, but
I really think that they could probably after the elections. I think this is just a lot of effort to try to get quote unquote publicity. I won't even call it the G word. But yeah, so that's where we're at.
What's
that
the G
fine.
Word?
Good.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say propaganda.
I was like good publicity.
Oh
that,
sure.
But folks can't see I'm doing bunny air quotes.
Good, yeah.
We
use a lot of air quotes on this show and nobody knows about it because it's an audio medium.
We have to start describing what we're doing.
Yeah.
And speaking of describing what we're doing,
okay,
we can get a little bit into the measure 111 through 114 and just kind of give a very honestly very dry definition, because it's just definitions and not just letting you know what you're doing. And we have our handy dandy voters pamphlet.
Oh yeah.
Can you hear that?
A little bit of asthma.
There it is.
that might have been horrible to hear, and if so, I'm sorry.
we can start off with are we gonna excuse me.
Whoa. I mean, we could start with
I got excited.
I know.
Are you gonna
start flipping
page,
through pages and just get worked up?
Page 61.
Oh, 61, 62? Yeah.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Let's do it. We're starting with, so these are the statewide measures. This is for everybody in Oregon. Things that will be on your ballot to
there's some biggies in
to
here.
Yes or no. And the first one is Measure 111, which amends the state constitution that says the state must ensure affordable health care access balanced against the requirement to fund schools and other essential services.
Which means that that got loud. Which means that opposing this would mean
keeping things as they are.
Exactly. And being for it would mean that you are interested in having a little bit more of an equitable health care for everyone.
Yeah. I think the important thing, people hear this and they sort of pearl clutch about how much it's going to cost. But there isn't a specific cost associated with it. It really just adds the obligation to ensuring affordable health care access to state legislators. And then it's for them to balance that as they will.
Right.
Basically.
I think there was, was in 2007 or something, when there was at least where I was living in Maryland, they had a penalty fee for if you didn't have health insurance for certain months.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just so disturbing to me. I was like, I was working in a warehouse. I'm like, I am poor. You're going to tax, you're going to penalize me for being poor and not be you think I like being unable to get sick? Like, literally, I can't afford to get sick.
Yeah. And this was one that was referred to the ballot by the legislature.
Oh.
So, all your state reps, one of the things that they did this last session was refer this to the ballot to try to get it going.
Yeah, I know Oregon and Washington were pretty big in the Medicare for All efforts.
Yeah. Definitely. But yeah, increasingly, healthcare is unaffordable for the average person. There's some stats on this that I can... Oh, gosh. Okay, sorry. I just read the numbers and I got a little scandalized myself.
Oh.
This is from one of the arguments in favor in the voter's pamphlet. Turn to page 63. It says, according to a report by the Oregon Health Authority, Oregonians' personal health care expenditures outpaced the rest of the U.S. from 2013 to 2019. While the U.S. saw an increase of 27% during that time, pretty bad, Oregonians... expenditures increased by 34%. So part of that was me editorializing, but it is significant. 60% of all in 2019, 60% of all bankruptcies in Oregon included medical debt. In 2019, 16% of Oregonians reported that they delayed some medical treatment because of the cost.
And of course, rural Oregon seems to be one of the places to suffer the most.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, these numbers are scandalizing.
I mean, we saw how like critical healthcare access was in the pandemic, right. You know, and it remains to be that way. There's still this whole backlog of, you know, hospitals and clinics being overrun by COVID. That there's like, you know, necessary procedures that people haven't gotten or haven't had the opportunity to get. That were people didn't go in for checkups for like 2 to 3 years. That has a real impact, you know. And that, yeah, I think it's, well, what are your thoughts? Sorry, I've been talking a lot.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. I have, I love listening to you and the things that you have to say. I'm reading the opposition, and, you know, you do have to pay money to actually to have your voice inputted, like, written into the
voters
pamphlet.
Yeah, I think it's like $400 or something.
I thought it was like a $120.
Okay. I
could be wrong too. But it's not like people, it's not free. I guess I should,
okay.
I should make a point of it.
True.
I think especially during, you know, we have a lot of heightened awareness around health, healthcare, mental health, like, you know, all of these things because of the pandemic, because of the shutdowns and the impact that it had on mental health. And I think that this. I am glad that the legislators brought this up because it's showing that there is progression being made from Medicare for all to just like obviously like the rise in wanting and being more aware of mental, physical health, and spiritual health even, and seeing it actually materialize in this year's voters pamphlet and, you know, as a measure. So I'm sometimes you don't see progression, you know, and sometimes it takes like it's been taken since at least 2008. So I should, but it's like, I am always really happy as I get older to see changes happen in my lifetime, you know,
totally.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, and just being able to see the conversation evolve.
Yeah.
And that putting it in the state constitution. I mean, my understanding from what like the legislators that, you know, furnished it to the voters are saying is like, it just adds another thing for them to balance when in the state budget, creating legislation like that. It adds the idea of affordable healthcare as something that must be considered by the state and must be balanced with all the other obligations that the state has. That doesn't mean that it's going to be like, we did Medicare for all
right,
on our
right.
own. We're not, it's not like dumping the entire state budget into healthcare, but, it does add that to the priorities list when, you know, even 10, 15 years ago, like the idea that like affordable healthcare is like as critical as it is, I think was like a different conversation than it is today.
And I wonder once it does become at the head, like what that'll mean for like drug prices, for example. I just saw the Pharma Bro documentary and, you know, after he spiked up the pill from, was it like $1, $13 to $7.50?
Yeah.
Nothing was, they're not even loopholes. They're all those pathways of doing that legally and being able to inflate these prices. Nothing's, like, they haven't created any rules to make sure this doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
The only reason this doesn't happen as frequently as it does is literally because we're trusting that people won't do it.
Yeah.
Good night, you know what I mean?
Right.
After I've seen that, I'll never know. As much as I, the kindest of strangers, hashtag blessed and all, but no, you gotta.
Well, sorry, not to get sad, but like that so much of the use of like crowdfunding sites is
for medical,
is for medical and for, yeah, just that the entire industry has a chokehold on us in one way, and then also like can just siphon everything, you know, and the, it, like, I don't know, it's just interesting to think about the history of, you know, GoFundMe or whatever, that was like, look at this cool little invention I made, or like, I made a motorized surfboard, do you want to give me money so I can try to make one and I'll send it to you?
Right.
It's like, no, it's not that anymore. It's like, oh, so and so, you know, found out they had lung cancer.
Sure, yeah.
And all this, their family can't afford it.
And all these things are, you know, for all those pull yourself up by your bootstrappers, it's like, you know, people don't choose to get sick.
No.
And more so, the more, the poorer you are, the more that you live, that you probably eat food that will make you sick, and you know, live in neighborhoods where the pipes aren't clean, so you're probably ingesting like just lead and whatever stuff through the pipe. So it's like, the, how is it, I think there was one of the arguments in opposition, it says this measure creates a new right, a quote unquote fundamental right, and it's like, who hurt you? Why you gotta be like, what do you, so you tell me when you get sick and you don't want to hold people, like, come on now, what's your, Kim Wallen, you do better, you deserve better. I give you permission to do better.
There's kind of, there's an interesting difference of understanding between the arguments in favor and the arguments in opposition. I was just going to add that there's OHA health equity analysis in 2018 found that adults living below the federal poverty limit or those who had not completed high school experienced worse health and were more likely to report experiencing fair to poor general health than those with higher incomes and education. And then that the argument is that Measure 111 is giving more people an equal chance at health. In this statement of opposition, they get really hung up on the idea of a right. After all, if you have a right to healthcare, how are you going to get it if someone else doesn't give it to you? In fact, to those obligated to provide the service and to those obligated to pay for it, it's the opposite of freedom. It's coercion.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What? Anyways, I don't.
Which, like,
try to make that make sense.
That's very, very interesting. I think it says a lot about what you think rights are.
I think it's a dog whistle, if you know what I mean. I think it's an anti-abortion dog whistle.
Oh, it does sound that way,
it
huh?
Is, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
You're so smart. Thank you. Why they put you on the radio. I'm just here puzzling over, like, what does that mean? Why did you say it like that?
If it's ever confusing and it makes you kind of do this, then it's probably a right-wing dog whistle. Do you want to move on?
Oh, you heard it. I did not. Let's go on to Measure 112.
I know, my ears, like...
Your ears are ringing. Dang.
Measure 112. Is it okay if we move
on?
Yeah, please. Measure 112, which will remove slavery as punishment for crime from the state's constitution amendment. Mm-hmm. So voting yes would mean repealing the language from the state constitution that allows the use of slavery and involuntary servitude as criminal punishment, and adding language that authorizes Oregon courts or probation or parole agencies to order alternatives to incarceration for a convicted individual as part of their sentencing.
Mm-hmm.
And voting no would mean that you would want to keep slavery as punishment.
Yeah. And I think it's important to know that this is like a part of a effort nationwide. I think there's like a bunch of other states that have this on the ballot. This year, because it is this kind of like vestige of I guess what the federal constitution says, which was sort of the back door of, sure, we abolish slavery, but not really, we can just criminalize people and then keep going as we've been going. And you know, it's been endorsed by a lot of folks, and yeah, definitely is a very easy one. I mean, it is more of like a just a textual change, but I still think that it is like an important value statement, and it was put forward by incarcerated individuals. I spoke with one of them a little while back. Check the website, kb.fm.
Nice. There it is, a plug-in.
That this was Sterling Cuneo, who was incarcerated and taking classes with Willamette University, I believe, while incarcerated, and it started as like this class project, And then it's kind of like grown into this thing that would, you know, well, that would be meaningful. Does it solve every problem? No. But I think, you know, we don't need to let the perfect be the enemy of the good. How about that?
Oh my God, there's an opposition?
Oh my God. Oh, I haven't read that one.
There's an opposition.
Oh yeah, the sheriff's, right, the sheriff. But it's opposed by the sheriffs, but it's endorsed by Oregon State Corrections. So, kind of an interesting paradigm there. But when I interviewed Sterling, he said that the sheriff's statement is not necessary. It's not really the case that like voluntary work programs would or training programs would be impacted in any way.
I couldn't believe this. I was just kind of like blown away. This is not a good look. Wow. I was looking at the huge list of people who were endorsing it, and I was going to say, you know, it might not. I don't want to say it might not have like concrete change because it or impact because I think it will. For a person to know that people rallied, for me to know that people rallied together, especially in a place that's with the history that Oregon has, and they want and they say, no, we're taking this out together because this isn't part of our values. This isn't what we want.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me feel a little warm inside, you know?
Yeah. There's bipartisan support for it as well. Yeah.
And I love that it came from, you know, people who were most impacted by this.
Totally.
Oh. 113?
113, let's hit it.
All right. Legislators with 10 unexcused absences from floor sessions will be disqualified from holding term in office. A vote yes would mean that you support disqualifying legislators in re-election following the end of their terms if they're absent from 10 or more legislative floor sessions, and voting no would mean that you're okay with people not doing their jobs. Or sorry, you're okay with legislators
walking off the job to prevent things from passing.
Yes, which came. So remember in 20 was it 2020 when?
It might have been like. Well, hang on. I think there's a list.
2020. Who in some years past is when there was a bunch of the legislators that walked out.
Yeah, there was a bunch in 2020. I think there was some in maybe 2019 or 2018 as well. Over the climate stuff,
yeah,
was one of the big walkouts. But Republicans and Democrats have done it in the past, depending on who's in control and what they want to stall.
I'm going to do that next time I don't want to do something at work.
Can't. What is it? Whatever I was going to say, I don't remember. I was going to do the Marshawn Lynch quote, "I'm just here so I don't get fined." But that's sort of like what happens if we pass it.
Sure. I like that.
Shout out Marshawn Lynch.
I'm really learning a lot from our elected officials. I can, if I don't like something, I can just walk away from work and not have to worry about my job. If I want, I can make or ask the landlord to see maybe I can get a 96% discount on my rent because it's not quote unquote worth what he's making me pay.
Yeah.
I'm learning a lot.
there's a lot to learn.
Apparently.
There are some lists of bills that have been stalled or sunk because of unexcused absences.
Give us the flavor.
Senate Bill 1536 from 2020 would have mitigated wildfire damage by updating Oregon building codes, land use planning, and treatment of forest debris. House Bill 4124 in 2020 would have addressed the influence of big money in politics to create a task force to propose campaign contribution limits, which, folks, if you've been on the internet looking at any kind of screen, I'm sure you've seen what we get without with the rampant campaign spending in terms of advertisements in the United States, but especially in Oregon, because we have kind of the wild, wild west out here when it comes to that kind of thing. House Bill 4001 would have funded the emergency housing account and made it easier for cities to build homeless shelters. House Bill 4147 would have brought down the cost of prescription drugs like insulin. Walk out on that one? House Bill 3427 in 2019 would have increased school funding by $2 billion to decrease class sizes, add back electives and sports, hire more nurses and counselors, which if you know anybody who's in the teaching field right now, by golly, they need that. House Bill 4085, additional funding for veterans services. 4005 would have created rules for safer storage of firearms when not in use. 4092 would have protected water rights in southern Oregon along the Big Butte Creek drainage area of the Rogue River. 4116 would have required insurance companies to cover the cost of prescriptions for emergency medical conditions. And a 2020 budget bill that would have been $30 million investment into the state's mental health system, $11 million in emergency funding for victims of flooding in Umatilla County, and additional investments in community safety and stuff like that. And then that's not counting the climate bill that they walked at. That was kind of like the biggest headline of like, where are Oregon legislatures? They're at a hotel in Idaho.
we got to dip out real quick, they said.
I mean, I think it certainly speaks to the like degradation of American political discourse if it feels like the only way to win is to not play, and that there's no room for bipartisan participation or even input on a bill that you might not be in favor of, but surely you could still have influence, you know, rather than just walking out and stalling the process.
It's not very alpha male of them, I gotta say. I'm looking at the...
Really? I think running from your problems is great.
I see the numbers.
I've always said that.
For the people that were supporting this, it is pretty... Yeah, it seems like there's pretty much... folks are really into it. From all across different... a diversity of thought and politics. So.
I'm not seeing any arguments opposed in the...
You see, so this is the one you don't see any opposed. But for the slavery one, I'm kind of blown away by that still. Sorry. I'm still angry at it.
Hold on. I think there was something about the Willamette Week, but... Oh, yeah. Willamette Week endorsed no on this one.
So they're the one... But they wouldn't cough up the whatever they amount of money you need.
Cough up the $400.
So, again, we're talking about the legislator, Measure 113 of the legislators, being disqualified from holding term of office after 10 unexcused absences. And Althea was just reading out all the different bills that got walked out on.
It's interesting what they say. They say that the idea of an excused absence, it's like excused versus unexcused absence, that could be misused or abused, and that the vast majority of states don't have the same walkout disruptions because their quorum requirement, quorum is like the amount of people in a decision-making body that have to be there before you can start doing stuff. In other states, it's only a half of all the members, which that if you have a majority, if everybody in the majority shows up, then you should be able to pass stuff. So they're saying that it would just be easier to lower the quorum threshold to one half, saying that like walkouts wouldn't happen if we just had a lower quorum.
Well, just...
but.
I don't know that in a way it's like, so if there's a lower quorum and folks know like that if they don't show up, then their party isn't going to get heard, then maybe it will kind of incentivize people to show up.
Can be both and, sure. To be honest. I agree that it's a more simple solution to just lower the quorum requirement, but it's a more simple solution to affordable health care is Medicare for all. So
sometimes
we can't make the big moves. We have to make the medium moves. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
All right. Should we hit 114?
Well, now like, after you're saying big moves, medium moves.
Hello.
Well, this is extra large moves, I guess.
Whoa. Oh, my God. A lot of bold text in this one.
Oh, yeah. This is... So it's Measure 114, the last one we're talking about. It is... the measure that will bring changes to firearm ownership and purchase requirement initiative. So voting yes would mean that... let me rephrase that. The measure includes requiring permits to be issued by local law enforcement to buy firearms. The police will also maintain the permit and firearm database, which will require photo ID, fingerprints. There'll be safety trainings, criminal background checks, and a fee of payment to apply for a permit. And then there is the second part of it, which is around the magazines. So under this measure, there'll be the manufacturing, importing, purchasing, selling, processing, using, or transferring of ammo, ammunition magazines capable of holding more than 10 rounds would make violations a Class A misdemeanor. So you can't have that.
Yeah.
Yes, and this one seems to be the one to really...
It's contentious.
Yes, and I can see why. I can definitely see why. Also, you know, I don't want to forget that we have witnessed so many school shootings.
Yeah.
And we've seen... Yeah, I just... So that's like...
I mean, yeah, Oregon had the mass shooting in Bend not that long ago. Like, what is it, last month? Yeah, this one is interesting. It is... So... It's modeled after the concealed carry permit process that the state already has, which if you want a concealed carry, you have to go through a police department or a sheriff's office to get permits for that. And, I mean, in favor of this is that there's a lot of, like, other states that have adopted similar measures saw their, like, gun violence, gun homicide, gun suicide rates really drop off. And that I think it was in Missouri where they repealed a law like this and their like violence rate went up. And of course, there's a lot of Second Amendment folks who are concerned about this, but also folks who are saying that there's like an equity issue with it, where because the decision making power and the background check and what is your political history, et cetera, is in the hands of police, that could really result in unequal treatment for BIPOC folks, for queer folks who may want to own a gun, or even just like progressives, anti-fascists versus, you know, right wing folks, which is an interesting opposition as well.
Tell you, America loves their guns. It is very interesting to see this. To see this develop and the conversations around this and who gets to speak on it. That this is especially,
it's a contentious one.
It's a
complicated issue.
It's hard to not, I mean, for me, I just think of the images that I've seen on television, you know, like I've seen what guns can do, you know, like in real life, on television, on TV, and it's like I don't understand why anyone would want that at all. And also, there's a lot of things in here that groups are saying, who are marginalized and most impacted groups are saying, yeah, we don't want this.
Yeah.
Even though it is in a lot of ways a step towards, as they're putting it here, responsible ownership.
Yeah.
So
and there are plenty of, like, there are gun owners in here who are saying, like, that's, or hunters or, you know, whatever they want to use their guns for in a legal way, that they're okay with this. They're like, yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, I'm a responsible gun owner. I did all that stuff. I'll continue to do all that stuff.
It's also, do you notice how it's the longest one too?
It's really long.
The
people turn out for Second Amendment stuff. And for, of course, you know, mass casualty events and tragedy. Sorry, I shouldn't have this cavalier attitude.
It's really, and also when I was looking through this, I noticed how a lot of the people or a lot of the organizations that endorse this are like health organizations and physicians and trauma room, like physicians. And it's like, yeah, those are the people that see what happens after people. I have to be object. See what happens.
Yeah. Faith communities are like where people go to find support for this kind of thing. And there's a lot of.
A lot of social and faith groups and health groups.
Yeah.
And it's Yes, and I'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People read your voters packet, people. There's a lot of interesting stuff in there.
And also, I remember when we had the interview, I forgot their name, when they had that really beautiful
showcase with the gun violence.
And they were told us, I didn't know this, that they told us that most people who own guns use it on themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and that I was blown away. That's shocking to me.
Yeah.
That's also something to take into consideration.
A significant portion of gun deaths are suicides.
Yeah.
And that's people that we lose because it's so easy.
And so there is this part that in the packet there, this org was talking about, had that at least having that little bit of buffer time to just wait and not hurt hurt yourself might be helpful. But also a lot of folks that are voting against this or that are opposing this are talking about the second part, which is actually the magazine capacity.
Oh.
And it's interesting because I think it's also the sheriff's office were speaking about how they tried to do the same thing in California. And they said, if this gets passed, we're taking you to court. So whether or not, whatever happens to this, like, there will be a part two.
Mm-hmm.
There will definitely be a part two.
Yeah, it's not going to stop being contentious, regardless of what voters, if they pass it or if they don't. Should we take a quick spooky musical break and then come back for our community question?
Yes, we can.
All right. This is The Gap on KBOO Portland. I'm Althea. I'm here with Tammy. We've been spending our time speaking about the ballot measures on the Oregon ballot this in like 2 weeks from now. And we're going to come back for our community question. Stay with us.
We are back. I hope that no one got too scared.
Ooh,
with that spooky
Halloween is coming.
A little Richard Rome with Ghost a Go Go.
Nice, nice.
I just got a great phone call from a listener, and they wanted to mention also that folks who have been hospitalized for committing or for self harm,
mm-hmm.
Can still go and buy a gun even if they have that background.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so that's also something that they wanted to mention and wish that was added into the measure from personal experience. So
yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we appreciate it. Can we do a quick mailbag?
Yeah, sure.
Mailbag, open the letter, see what's inside. We got some lovely we both got a lovely note from Harry. Thank you, Harry, who sent us some 2-cent pieces to thank us for our 2 cents. Thank you for your 2 cents, Harry.
Aww.
Very, very sweet. Looking at these old coins, I didn't know that there weren't faces on our money always. So that's definitely food for thought. And we appreciate you listening. We appreciate everybody listening and for your kind words. If you would like to send us something in the mail, you can send it to The Gap. Tammy or Althea or both of us.
Oh, care wow, of Kebu. This is so cool.
Yeah, care of Kebu at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. And we may open it on air during our mailbag segment. Mailbag, mailbag, open the letter, see what's inside. Okay.
I just opened it up. Thank you, Harry. Very
yeah, nice. Thank you so much. Very cool. All right, we're going on to our community question here.
Yes, part two of the show, community question, where we open up the phone lines to you.
So Halloween is coming. In just a few days, maybe you're celebrating Halloween. And we want to ask folks in that spirit, what is an irrational fear you have and how do you get brave? Let us know. Give us a call, 503-231-8187.
That's a good one. That's a real good one. What's an irrational fear you have and how do you get brave?
I just started listing them. my
Oh, you did.
I'm in the document now. I got the computer working and I'm in the document and I decided to list some of my fears. Do we want to talk about them or
Yeah, please do. And what do you do to get brave?
And what do I do to get brave?
This is, I hope it inspires people. I hope it inspires people.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, let's just go through some of my fears and then I hope that other folks call in so I'm not the only one being vulnerable on this Friday morning. Thank you. One thing I'm afraid of is moths. And yes, it's a little bit funny, but it's real. It's real. It really, Tammy's seen me.
It's irrational for sure.
Thank you. No, it's like deep-seated. It's based on like a couple of like core childhood memories that continue to be upsetting when I'm around moths. When moths are around me, they're in my space. Here's my thing. Why do they always want to like lunge at your face? Like, what is that for?
Because they're a bright light.
I don't subscribe to that. I think that they're incredibly erratic. One time I touched one of their wings by accident.
Fuzzy.
It's like dusty and awful. I hate moths and what? I will kind of have, I'll kind of have a freak out.
So what do you do to get brave?
Oh, I don't. I ask for help.
Boom. There, I try that's to, the I most try to brave calm thing down. You can do.
Yeah, sometimes you have to ask for help. I'm also kind of weird about needles and blood. Tammy has come with me to get my COVID shots to help me be brave. I'm also not that great with heights. That's when I've developed over time. Mm. I wasn't born this way.
Sure, you get taller.
Yeah, yeah, you get taller. You get more afraid of heights. For your birthday, actually, we were up in one of Portland's many tall buildings. And I sort of like walked up to like the edge of like the glass of like looking over and I sort of involuntarily fell to my knees in a crowded restaurant. And Tammy was just laughing at me.
I thought you were doing a bit. I didn't know if you were being serious.
I wish I was. What is an irrational fear you have? How do you get brave? Give us a call, 503-231-8187.
As the phone lines begin to light up, I'll share a little bit until people call the phone number, 503-231-8187. So recently there's been a lot of grasshoppers or something, praying mantises, I don't know, some sort of leafy looking green bug. And I don't like it. I don't like it. They jump. I don't like jumping things.
Yeah.
They freak me out. And
I think it's the unpredictability.
Yeah.
And moths are the same way.
And that's, you know what? Shout out to Portland drivers because they are very much like that. Because you don't know, they're going to turn left, they're going to turn right. God forbid they communicate with you on the road. God forbid they tell you how they feel.
No. Ugh,
God forbid. Anyway, the grasshopper.
Yeah.
You
had one in your house for a couple days.
It was different ones and they kept
different
coming
ones.
Yeah, the first time it came in, I had to call my ex to come help me. And I was not being brave. The second time I said, Tammy, you got to get your stuff together. Like, you can't do this.
Yeah.
I got some unsolicited text messages after that.
Mm.
Had to block people.
Oh.
So then the second I said,
grasshopper worth this?
Is the grasshopper greener on the other side?
Whoa.
I see the grasshopper come in after 3 days we've been keeping everything closed.
Uh-huh.
I said, Tammy, come, you got to do it. I put on my boots. I got the biggest Tupperware I could find.
Yeah.
I pulled up my hair so that nothing gets in, you know, in there. I put
it's
a hat
the,
on.
The hair and the neck.
I closed it up so it doesn't try to get in my neck.
Gotta have a hood.
I did it. I put the thing on top of it. And then thinking, I have a dog in the meanwhile. She's just looking at me, doing absolutely nothing. But I really did have to psych myself up. Like, I said, you're a woman living in these, you know, living alone, and you have to take care of business. No one is going to be there to help you.
Yeah,
sometimes,
totally.
I think that's the thing about, for me, being brave is like, it things like asking for help, and also very much, what do I do when no one else is going to be there for me? Mm. And I feel like that's when I really have, and I've been in that spot so many times in life, and it I'm tired of being brave, honestly, because I just am so sick of it. But it's those moments like that when it's really, it's not a mental bravery, it's like a physical and a mental bravery where it's like, all right, let's do it. And is it an irrational fear? I don't know. I don't like things that jump like that.
I think it's fine to not
just
like
tell
them.
Me where you're doing, which is also why I don't like driving in Portland, because no one's going to tell you where they're going.
Yeah, if people want to come on here and defend moths and grasshoppers, you're welcome. You're welcome. Or you can talk to us about your an irrational fear or just a fear. You can rationalize it if you want to. And talking about how do you get brave, 503-231-8187 is the number to call if you'd like to share with us. I think getting brave is like, okay, let me tell I have an anecdote. So last weekend I got my nose pierced, and as previously mentioned, I'm not great with needles or with blood. The last piercing that I got was my sister did it, and I was laying on my mom's bed to get my ears pierced or get a second piercing on my ears, whatever. But you know, being prepared, knowing what you need, and not letting yourself get psyched up, because as Tammy has seen me in a couple of medical situations, like, you know, you let the runaway train run, I'll work myself up to something that, like, is like being upset. Like, sometimes it's good to express it, and sometimes it's like, hey, you know, it's okay. This is a super normal thing. They're gonna draw your blood, they're gonna pierce your nose. Like, this has been happening for a very long time.
Oh, depending people, on the ancestors.
Yeah, people know what they're doing, you know, and having faith in that way, being informed and saying, like, hey, can you tell me when you're gonna do it? Or hey, just do it and try to distract me, or you know, like being honest about what you need to not freak out. And I didn't freak out at this nose piercing. Can I tell you, I was really brave. And
good
my friend
you.
Megan said, Althea, you were so brave. And I was like, I was so brave. I was so brave. And then that kind of unlocked being brave as a key phrase to kind of get me to do stuff.
And I think when we talked about it, I asked you, did you feel brave beforehand, or did it take someone else telling you that you're brave for you to feel that feeling?
I think it was, it was somebody else telling me. It's like, I was proud of myself for not flipping out. But then it took somebody else to connect. They were like, oh, you're being brave. That was brave of you. I was like, yeah. And that was, I'll tell you what, that was my senior quote in the high school yearbook, was be clever and brave, which
there
isn't especially complex. I kind of wish I'd done a more complex one, but there was a mentor at the time who said that to me. And I was like, I like those two words. I want to be those two words.
There it is.
Mm.
It's, you know, because I think of bravery and all the brave people who've come before us, and the fact that some of us still exist is because of that bravery.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if, like, these irrational fears that we have, if it's like part of this, like, somewhere in your history there was like a huge moth man that, like, I don't know. Like,
I mean, that's a thing.
Mothman is, yeah, I believe.
Well, I mean, not the Mothman. Well, I don't want to litigate the Mothman if I could this pre-Halloween show, but just that, like, you know, what's impacted your ancestors, as you said, is like in your, is in you also.
I wonder, because I know that, don't grasshoppers turn into locusts?
Oh my gosh.
Boom,
yeah,
there it is. There it is. That's
I'm also really
fear.
Afraid of locusts. But that's because of a Little House on the Prairie book I read as a child.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to say because of the Bible.
No. I didn't read. I haven't read that one.
Little House on the Prairie, but not the Bible.
the People's Bible, some call it. No, they don't. I'm sorry.
What's an irrational fear you have, and how do you get brave? 503-231-8187.
Mm-hmm.
I think being so, the news, social media, all of that stuff, sometimes it just triggers me in such a way where I feel like it makes me create an irrational fear of certain things. And that's where community really comes in for me, you know, and like, and that's where being brave and being like, hey, I kind of, I don't know, you want to do something? Or I kind of need you right now.
Taking action is like taking your power back for sure.
Oh, you know, when you said action, it made me think, do you think being brave is a thing you feel, or do you think that it's an action?
I think it's both. I think it's both. Because I think that there's like certain things that maybe you do because you're feeling brave, like you have that kind of mood, or like, you know, you
feeling bold, as someone would say.
Yeah, you're in the headspace to be able to do something that maybe you would like psych yourself out about in other circumstances. But I also think it is an action, you know, being brave, doing something that is hard for you to do. Another thing I'll say about bravery, sometimes it's like, I mean, I'm somebody that, you know, airplane turbulence kind of messes with me, and I'm not, but like, I'm not like super afraid of a plane going down because I know that that's very rare, but also just like learning what turbulence is made a big difference for me. That it's like, for a pilot, turbulence is like a pothole, you know, like it's not really going to ruin your experience of conducting this vehicle. It doesn't really change all that much, you know, and putting faith in things that you do not understand is sometimes a part of being brave.
Yes, it's like, you know, Scooby, on the Halloween theme, Scooby-Doo, whenever they take the mask off of the monster, it's always someone they know.
Yeah.
And speaking of someone we know, Harry, you are on the air. Can you hear us?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, my issue is with needles. Ever since I was a kid, you know, getting a shot or whatever like that, really, though I'm older now, I'm still afraid. And of course, being older now, I have to take my blood being drawn once every 3 months. And it's like, after doing that for a few years, you get used to it.
Yeah, that's true. So every time you work up enough courage to be brave, it makes the next time easier.
Yeah, it sure does. And one other thing, as for the 2 cent pieces, I also sent it to all the other talk show hosts that come on at 8 a.m. every morning. So that's why it looks like a form letter that was in there.
Well, we appreciate it.
Yeah, one last thing. I have an idea for your show, maybe the first and the third Friday of each month, if you could have a community open forum that people can call in, talk about everything, anything or everything. Don't you miss Edie?
Yeah, Edie, where are you?
So I thought maybe, you know, twice a month, and you don't have to worry about a community question, just, you know, open forum.
I'm open to it. Thank you, Harry. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem at all. And thank you very much for your show, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, Harry. Bye.
Oh, we forgot to ask Harry what he's getting dressed up as.
Oh, dang it. Well, if other folks want to call, we got like maybe a minute or two left. 503-231-8187, talking about irrational fears, how to get brave.
Yes, how to get brave, and how to also, like, if you have a little tidbit, you know, I guess as I wait for the lines to light up, if you could give 2 words of advice for how to get brave. Two words of advice, go. No pressure.
To be so succinct is so difficult. Do you have one locked and loaded? No.
Listen, you do. I got one thing to tell you.
Okay.
This is one thing I'll tell you. As you grow and you find who you are and you find your passions and you find what drives you and you find your motivation and you find yourself and your vision and you figure out where the heck you're finally going, people will start noticing. Not only people start noticing, they'll start looking.
Ooh.
They'll say, oh, what's going on there? Then all of a sudden, they'll start staring. They'll start studying. They'll start looking. They'll start trying to do copy paste. They'll try to emulate you. They'll try to copy you. But you know what?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Because what you can do, no one else can do. And what other people can do, you can't do. And that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But don't get stressed. They might do it and get 100 more people than you at, like, I don't know, if you're a musician and are you someone who's like jockeying your style, and they might get 100 more people there, you know? And that's fine, because you know what? The truth lies with you.
Yeah.
And that's enough. And that should be enough. Running around trying to outdo no one and nothing can take from you what is yours. That's you. That's you. No one can take you from you.
Yeah.
And that is just the, isn't that, that is the most powerful thing, I think, that a person can, that I found to internalize myself.
Yeah, that was more than two words, but it was good. I think the ones that come to mind for me, also going to be more than two words, I am sorry to say.
I like to paint a picture.
It was a, it was a good picture. It was, you know, you're a good speaker. You know this. What was I going to say? Observe it, like see the patterns. If the pattern is that, hey, this thing is done by many people, it's a very normal practice, my fear is real for me, doesn't mean I have to act out of it. And also make a choice, make the active choice. If the choice is like I think that it's easy to be ruled by your fear,
paralyzing,
and to not make a choice either way, or just avoid facing the thing. And if the choice is, I'm really afraid of that, I'm choosing not to engage with moths, that's me. I'm choosing not to. Anytime I come across a moth in my house, I'm going to ask for help. You know, that's totally fine. But we are just about at the end of our time here. I want to thank everybody for listening to The Gap on KBOO Portland. Please do check out our show notes. Check out our episode page on kbu.fm/thegap. There is a KBOO event happening later today that you can check out on our website. Would love to see folks there. And of course, you can always get in contact with us at The Gap Radio on Instagram, or email us, thegapradio@gmail.com. I'm Althea.
I'm Tammy. Have fun this Halloween. Stay safe and stay funky and spooky.
Happy Halloween. Woo. See you next week.
Portland. This program is made possible by KBOO members and support from the League of Women Voters of Portland, providing nonpartisan election information at lwvpdx.org. The League of Women Voters has online voters' guides, video.